Okay, now Guru Maharaj is going to tell a story, and it's the subtitle in the book Savitri's Encounter with Yamaraj. I'm reading EPUB version, I don't know what the actual page is, but it's early in the book. So, Savitri's Encounter with Yamaraj. Jai Shri Guru Maharaj, Shri Bhaktirakok, Shri Dha, Devi Sami Maharaj, Shri Dha. There is a story from the Puranas. Just give me one second. There is a story from the Puranas which illustrates this principle. The principle that we're not going to ask Krishna for clearing away my karma, for this, that, of my karmic material life. We only have our aim on Krishna's mercy for entrance to the upper world, the visa to Goloka. So there is a story from the Puranas which illustrates this principle. The story of Savitri and Satyavan. Savitri was a chaste lady who had acquired special capabilities through the performance of certain penances. And one day she went to the forest with her husband, Satyavan, knowing that this day was the day of his death. So one day she went to the forest with her husband, Satyavan, knowing that this day was the day of his death. She knew that this was the day of her husband's death, but he did not. While cutting wood in the forest, Satyavan, the husband, said, "I have a headache. I need to take a nap." Savitri was prepared, and Satyavan put his head on her lap and slept. In his sleep, he died of heart failure, and Yamaraj came to take him. First, Yamaraj's agents came, but finding that Satyavan's body was on the lap of his very pure and chaste wife, they could not venture to take him. Then Yamaraj himself came and told Savitri, "You leave him, he's dead, leave his body." But Savitri said, "Yes, you may take him." Yamaraj took Satyavan's soul, but then he saw that Savitri, by dint of her penances, was closely following him in pursuance of her husband. Yamaraj said, "Oh, why are you coming? I am taking him. You must go back." Savitri replied, "No, I can't. I shall also go." Yamaraj then said, "No, you must not come. Why are you disturbing my duty? This is the arrangement of the Creator, Lord Brahma, and you must obey that." Then Savitri replied, "It is better to die than to live without my husband." Then Yamaraj said, "All right, I will give you a boon. Accept that and be satisfied." Savitri asked that her father-in-law and mother-in-law, who were blind, would regain their sight. Yamaraj said, "Yes, they will regain their sight." But Savitri continued to follow him, saying, "I am not yet satisfied completely." Then Yamaraj said, "So take another boon." Then she replied, "Well, if you are pleased to offer another boon, my father-in-law and mother-in-law have lost their kingdom, so now please arrange for them to be reinstalled in their own kingdom." "Yes, I say they will get back their kingdom." But again, Savitri began following him. And so he said, again you are coming? Yes, I can't live without the company of my husband. Oh, take another boon. Yes, what is that? I want 100 sons. Then, yes, you shall have 100 sons. Still Savitri kept following behind Yamaraj. Yamaraj saying, Now why are you coming? I told you that you would have 100 sons. And she replied, if you are taking my husband, then how can I get any sons? Then Yamaraj was perplexed. If he speaks Italian properly. Oh, mamma mia. Yes, that's true. What can I do? So he, Yamaraj, appealed to the higher force. Savitri's boon was sanctioned and she got her husband back. Yamaraj had already committed himself that you will get 100 sons. And so Savitri asserted, you have clearly sanctioned that I will get 100 sons. Therefore, you certainly can't take my husband. So then, this is the story. So Srila Guru Maharaj saying, the general idea is that if we get some backing from the higher sphere, that will overrule all mandates. Okay, so the general idea is that if we get some backing from the higher sphere, that will overrule all mandates imposed by the plane of mortality. If we are given a place in Goloka, we cannot be detained in this mundane world. When Tulsi Devi can give us a place there, then why should we waste our prayer to her by asking, please clear away the dirt on which I am standing? That is self-deception. So, we shall always pray to the higher servitors for the higher service of the Lord. We won't care about where we might be. That problem will automatically be solved. If we get some higher appointment in the divine realm, then automatically we can't be detained here. Therefore, a Shuddha Bhakta, a pure devotee, from the core of his heart will never pray for anything else, for that will be a waste of energy. Only they will pray pure inclination toward the service of my Lord. That I want. I know nothing else but that, and I do not want anything else. So that is the pure person's prayer. Srila Guru Maharaj saying, a pure devotee won't pray for anything but for the higher service of the Lord of his heart. He can't even imagine asking for anything for his or her own interest. In Christianity, such self-sacrifice is also present. And greater than that is self-forgetfulness. The self is there, but the servitor is forgetful of that and is 100% absorbed in attending to the pleasure of the Lord. No self-interest, wholesale self-forgetfulness. They are unconscious of their own particular interest, because it has become merged in the interest of the Lord, the absolute whole. So, one who is aspiring to become a pure devotee, is that you? Are you aspiring to become a pure devotee?
No, just aspiring to be a devotee, Maharaj.
Well, I would have hope that everyone is going to put up their hand.
Such a high prospect. We're not there.
Okay. So anybody in the ether listening. So one who is aspiring to become a pure devotee should never desire anything else but to purely serve and give joy to the Lord of his heart. When one is unconscious of everything else, thinking, let it be, whatever he may like, then that is pure devotion for Tulasi, or whomever we are praying to. Let it be, whatever he may like, whatever he may like. Then, Srila Guru Maharaj. If one has got that higher Sukriti, that Shuddha Bhakti, the seed of Prema Bhakti, then he won't be able to think of anything else but Krishna's pleasure. He'll think only for the pleasure of his Lord, cent per cent, forgetting his own body, mind, everything. And that is the purest type